Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Samach Zayin, and we're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Yomid at the two dots, where we're going to start a memra of Rav Shimon Bar Abba Omer Rav Yoichanan. What is Rav Shimon Bar Abba Omer Rav Yoichanan going to address? You remember we had in the last two Mishnayos on Samach Vav Omer Aleph and Samach Vav Omer Beis that when people got married, they wrote a ksuva, and often they wrote into the ksuva what is usually called Nechsei Tzoyin Barzal. Nechsei Tzoyin Barzal means that the wife is bringing in the chosim to the chasana, and if and when chas v'shalom this marriage ends, either because of the husband's demise or because he gave her a divorce, at that point he has to return to the wife the nad and the Nechsei Tzoyin Barzal that she brought into the marriage. Now, if she brought into the marriage cash, we said in the Mishnah,
50%.
He has to add 50%.
A third.
Or a third, depending on which way you look at it. Melabar or melagav. Shkoyach, thank you much, Brother Shai, for assisting us. And the Mishnah, for instance, gave us an example. If she brought in 10 mona, then you write into the ksuba that when this marriage terminates, he has to pay 15 mona, 50% more. What's the reason why? The reason why Brother Shai referred to that as a third, because you can look at it as 50% more, 10 vis-a-vis 15, is 50% more. Or if you look at Milagav Milabar, like Milton is explaining, what you have is, if you look at the total, which is 15, since we're adding 5, 5 of 15 is a third. So it depends on which way, what your perspective is in understanding how this Tosefos is arranged. Fine, so that's in terms of cash. And then we said, what happens if you're talking about metaltalin? Then we said that there are two reasons why you would discount the value of the metaltalin by a fifth. What would be the two reasons? Reason number one is because of the fact that metaltalin, by definition, are used on a regular basis, and therefore there's what we call wear and tear. So what is worth at the time of the chasana, 1,000, by the time this marriage terminates, it might only be worth 800. But over and above that, we spoke about the fact that they typically did an appraisal. And a wedding hall appraisal that was done either on her side or by his side, they would tend to inflate the prices. Why would they inflate the prices? Because they wanted to go and make the chosin happier. The chosin might be a little upset if he heard that she's only bringing in $800 worth of metalclin. But when he hears she's bringing in $1,000 of talk, oh, that's already a royal shidduch, that's a great thing. And he's happy to go and tell all his friends. And he asks, of course, the one that's mechubit to read the ksuba under the chuppah, say out loud that there's 1,000 that everybody should hear. Anyway, so the point is that they tended to inflate it. Both the kala side inflated it to impress the chosin. The chosin side also inflated it so that the chosin would be happy and all his friends and the family would be happy, etc., etc. So therefore we have now, two separate items in the previous Mishnayos. If you're talking about cash, then you added 50% or a third. And when you talked about metaltalin, you would go and reduce it in terms of termination date of this chasana by 1/5, down from 1,000 to 800. Yes, you wanted to ask something, Aaron.
Yeah, what if she brings in something that appreciates, like hypothetically a Mickey Mantle rookie card?
I don't think I missed. I think you got your mirrors.
Right. No, the highest selling card recently was a Mickey.
That's a very good question. It will surprise you, but the Mishnah doesn't address that particular case. You'd have to look in later Mefarshim and Achronim to see what they say about things of that nature. Yes. Anyway, what the case that we're going to discuss now is going to be gold pieces. Not, we're going to talk about gold coins shortly, but in the meantime, we're going to talk about gold pieces. And that is what she's bringing into the marriage. The question is, what do you do under those circumstances? Amar Rav Shimon, Amar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hechnisa Loi Zohav. She brought in gold. You see Rashi on the fourth line says, Chatichoi Zohav, pieces of gold. Some may want to say gold bars.
Like nuggets.
Nuggets, exactly. Yeah, scraps not. We're going to talk about scraps later. Here we're talking about solid pieces of gold. She brought that into the wedding. The question is, what do you write now in the ksuba? Says Rabbi Yochanan, Shaman Oisoi Varuhu Kishavyai. Find out the appraised value and write that amount into the ksuba. You don't add a third, and you don't go and reduce it by 20%. It's exactly that amount that they appraise. You see Rashi on the fourth line, Hari Kushavyoi, Lo Yosef Shlish, Lo Yifchois Chaimish, don't add like cash, don't reduce it like Metalklin, but Kushavyoi, exactly what the American Appraisal Institute said, that's the value, that's what you put in.
Wouldn't it be better to calculate the weight of the gold?
Versus, we're talking about
not the value.
We're talking about the purity also. There's also a question of purity.
Shamanoisa, when you send it to the Appraisal Institute, they take into account the weight, the quality, the purity, the appearance, the volume, the packaging, anything and everything that they take into account is presumably determinative of the value, and that's what they put into the shtar.
To the Rama.
Yevak, yevakasha. Freitimar meisve. We have a braisa. Hazohav hari huki kelim. When you're talking about pieces of gold, like we said, they have the same status like kelim. Now the Gemara assumes what means like kelim. My love, kelim shel kesef, like metalklin of kesef, which we spoke about a moment ago. That what do you do? The pachsi. That since they have wear and tear and they go down in value, that you would put into the shtar the 80%, the reduction of the choymish of the 20%. And you just said now, Rabbi Yochanan, then you're talking about zav. That you do it kishavyoi, it's a chodesh shver on a pechelim. Everything more like kikelim shel zohav the loy pachsi. Don't say kikelim shel kesef. It's kikelim shel zohav the loy pachsi that they don't go down in value. What's the reason why they don't go down in value? After all, if you use kelim, by definition, there's wear and tear. So says toisis a very simple svara, because people tend not to use them frequently. They stay in the cupboard, they stay in the vitrine almost indefinitely, and you only take them out once a year, perhaps when there's a party, a simcha, maybe for Pesach, for Rosh Hashanah or something. If you look at the top toises, go down about almost halfway, about six lines into the narrow lines. The Kori Shel Zohav, go back fourth line, Kori Shel Zohav. Kores, of course, will be plates made out of gold. The avagav the chimishdam shebehen pachsi kishol kesef. They also have wear and tear. Miu agav yoiker because they are so expensive and so dear and so yeah. Hey, mishdam shebehen tamid. You don't use them on a frequent basis. But hope shita shehen kishavya. The mishdam shebehen kuli high the pachsi. It certainly doesn't go down in value, and that's why you would go and do it kishavya. So getting back to our Gemara.
What is going to the Gemara about just the Matthias, that gold? We have the famous that Rabbi Yeshua wanted, was attacked for his looks by the Tsar's daughter, or the Caesar's daughter, or, I think it was the Caesar's daughter. And he's,
wine killer.
The wine cancer, which you said, don't put it, he's
don't
this
put
is
in
the
Ferris.
Reason why they're not using it off.
Because it spoiled it, that's the question.
It spoils the wine.
Correct.
So therefore, people the kalem.
You're saying that's another reason why people don't use
don't
it.
Don't use it's it. It's not just because it's expensive. It's because gold doesn't work with.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That's for
100%
wine.
Right.
That's for wine.
The question is, what happens if you want to use it for a gold plate and put down the fish and put down the meat?
Yeah, it's still not going. It's not going.
Is that
going to
spoil the fish if you go and put?
It's not stored on this.
It's not stored.
But in general, on every other type of thing, you're not as worried about keeping it on the plate for.
We do have it by the shovel and the. Yom Kippur, in the Lord of Yom Kippur, that we didn't, that we have a, we use the silver instead of gold to the Torah Machasa Mamonash Yisrael, right?
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. But maybe, in fact, that's another good reason, thank you. Another good reason why it wouldn't go down in value, because you're saying it's not so practical use with
that's
food item. You're doing beautifully. So therefore, you're adding another reason to the choices. The reason why they didn't use it is because it would cause the wine to go and spoil. Yes, exactly.
That's the point. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yes, and you did very well. Thank you. And says the Gemara, so therefore, when it says now in the Braisa, Kikelim, it's not referring to Kelim Shel, Kesef, that goes down in value. So my Kelim Shel Zov, that stays at its value because they are so careful when they use it and they don't use it often, etc. So Gemara, that's a quite a good shot. The only thing is, since the Braisa says, Hazov, Hariyu Kikelim, Kikelim is kind of generic. If we wanted to say specifically Kalim Shel Zov, Imkem Kikalim Mi Boyele, then it should say in this price, instead of Zov, it's like Kalim. That might cause us to be misled and think we're talking about silver or other types of Kalim. We should go and say Kalim, so we know clearly we're talking about gold Kalim. Boy, and I have another kasha from another price, Tanya. And the price starts off the same way. Zov Hari Huki Kalim. But then it continues. Din Rei Zov Hari Hen Kiksof. If she brought into the Chasana Din Rei Zov, these are already gold coins, then they have the same status like Kesef. Kesef, just like Kesef, when you use it, you have to therefore add to it 50% or a third. Here too, by the Zin Rei Zov, it has the same Din like Kesef. You got to add the same 50%, the third from 1,000 to 1,500, 10 to 15, etc. Reb Shimon Gamliel Oimer. Now, the Gemara, as you'll see in a moment, is not sure whether Reb Shimon Gamliel is going on the Reisha or on the Seifa. Reisha was Zahav, which are gold pieces, are Kikalim. Dinrei Zahav, which are gold coins, are like Zahav. Reb Shimon Gamliel Oimer. The Mokim Shenuagu Shaloi Lepartan. In those communities where they would not normally exchange the Zohav, Shaman Oysav Varehen Kishavyan, Kishavehen. Then it would be exactly like the amount that it's worth at the time of the Chasana. That's how much you would have to return at the termination of the wedding. Now, on the surface, it sounds like Shimon Gamliel is talking about the Dinrei Zohav case. Don't you remember Shimon Gamliel? Ahai. On which case? Ilim Aseifa. So, what would he mean when he says Aseifa? In other words, when you go into a grocery store or into a bank and you hand them silver coins, what will they do? They'll exchange it for you. From a silver dollar, they'll give you 4 quarters, they'll give you 10 dimes, 20 nickels, so on and so forth. However, if you bring a gold coin, your average grocery store says, I can't use gold coins. Nobody uses them, nobody sells them, nobody gives them. It's just a headache for me. Take it back. Bring me, please, silver coins. I'm assuming that there is a denomination of $1,000 bill. However, what's the last time you saw $1,000 bill? It's very rare because you don't use it normally in commerce. And if you bring it to a store, they'd say it's probably counterfeit, and they would say maximum give me hundreds or twenties or tens, etc. So, in those places where shenonga shaloi lefartan, they wouldn't go and exchange them. And again, if it's going on the safer, we're talking about the din rezov. These are just so precious and so special that these are not normally in monetary circulation, and therefore go and appraise whatever they're worth and put down the value exactly where you're at, like they are bishoveh. Zokti Mora, since that's Reb Shimon Gamliel, Mechlal Vatana Kama Sover, Afilu B'makav Shenogu Shaloi Leparitan, Holein Afki. If Reb Shimon Gamliel is arguing with the Tana Kama, and he's talking about Din Rei Zov, and the Tana Kama is saying in the same Mekoimis that Reb Shimon Gamliel said that people are not Noheg Lefarta, they don't usually exchange gold coins. Says the Tana Kama, that's okay, even if they don't exchange, it doesn't make a difference. It has the same status just like Kesef, just like regular dollars, like regular money, like silver. Pray tomorrow. That doesn't make sense, only Nafki. The whole reason why we said that you add the third or the half, the 50%, to the Kesef is because she's allowing her chosin now to use those monies in business. And by having a lot of capital, he'll be able to invest, he'll be able to buy and sell and merchandise and heem meher. If you're telling me that this is the type of thing that you can only put in your vitrine or hold it in your bank, in your safe,
it's
or in your vault.
It's illiquid.
Sorry?
It's illiquid.
It's illiquid. Beautiful. Ah, shkoyach. It's illiquid. That would be the same thing if you put wine into the gold
vessel.
They would become illiquid.
No, it would still be liquid.
It would be illiquid.
Uh-huh.
Because it would become
sour.
Well, it would
be ill.
Let's stop whining about that case. Anyway, let's get back to our Gemara. Anyway, the Gemara tells us, Holei Nafki. Again, if Reb Shimon Gamliel is arguing with the Tana Kama, no, we're talking about the Din Rei Zov, and he says, if you can't, it's a place where they don't use that currency, so how could the Tana Kama say it's like Kesef? That doesn't make sense. El Lavrat Aresha, L'Choy, therefore we're going on the Resha. Vokhi Kama, and we're saying the Resha. Zov Hari Hu Ki Kalim. What type of Kalim I Kalim? Kalim Shal Kesef. Obviously not like Rav Yochanan. And therefore the Kalim are depreciating in value. And that's the reason why you would write into the Ksuba 20% less. How are you continuing to Zov? No. Zov, gold pieces, are like gold coins. The Mokim Shanoagu Shaloi Lafartan, in those places where they don't allow for an exchange. Since they don't allow for an exchange, so then you do it Bishav Yoy. You don't go and do it like Kevim Shal Kesef, the Pachsi, and write in a smaller amount, give a discount of 20%, but rather the exact amount. So now before we continue on, L'choira, what the Gemara could say is that Rabbi Yochanan is consistent with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that the kelim of Zohar, the regulars of the Zohar pieces, are like kelim of Zohar and like dinrim shel Zohar, the mokum shenor gishlo lefartan, and therefore it's bishavayin, and that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said. If you go back to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the mokum shenor gishlo lefartan, shomanoiz marei bishavayin. Which is word for word Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said, Zov Shaman Oisev Aruhuke Shavyoi. Exactly the amount. So there's really no kashan of Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan stims with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel very, very well. However, the Gemara asks a kasha not on from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's asking from the Tanakhama. You see, there's a very short toisis here on the Amid. Tell people that in our Daf Yoimi, sometimes we learn entire toisis from beginning to end. See, toisis says, El Areisha, that the machloikis between the Tanakhama and the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is from on the Reisha, or Midraban and Parach, the kasha that we're posing to Rabbi Yochanan is from the Reisha, from the Rabbanan, and not Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. If anything, the Gemara could have answered Lechoira that Rabbi Yochanan follows the view of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that when you're talking about gold, pieces of gold, they have the status just like Dinri Zoga, Mokim Shaloi, Nogilo, Shaloi, Lefartai, which is Kishavyoi, but the Gemara doesn't want to box Rabbi Yochanan in and say he holds only like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We want to say he holds like everybody, even potentially like the Tanakhama. So, Frank, the Gemara from the Tanakhama, it sounds like it's Kelim Shel Kesef, and therefore there's a discount. Is Lach Shver on Rabbi Yochanan that said it's Kishavyoi? Every Gemara, like, La Oyla Ma Seifa. Really, the Machloikis in the Braisa is going on the Seifa. Udenavki Al Yedei Hatcha. And what we're talking about is a special situation where you can go and convert gold piece of gold coins. According to the chat now, we're going on the safer gold coins. However, you cannot easily convert them because many stores are not going to do it for you. Even most banks will say, not at this branch. You have to go to the main branch down on 42nd Street, and then you go on 42nd Street. There's a long line. It's not an easy thing to go and convert your gold coin.
High transaction costs.
Exactly, but if there are high transaction costs, then you wouldn't be b'shavyoi. So then you've got to be careful with that. See, Mora says, "Aseifon nafki ayete etchak." You can use them, but it's not easy because most merchants won't take it. Most banks will say that's too high a denomination. Go to the main branch or whatever. Ubokemefli. So what's the machlokes? Mara said the Tanakh says keep the nafki. Bottom line is, there is a way to go and transform these gold coins into ready cash to be able to invest and be able to buy and sell and all the rest. Bishabchirullah. If that's the case, add the 50% like we learned in the Mishnah. 10, you brought in 10 dinar, you have to go and take out 15 dinar in the Sukkah. Since it's difficult to go and transform gold currency into smaller currency, then you're going to assume that the chosin is going to be delighted to have these gold pieces, now we're talking gold coins. However, he's not going to use them. He's going to leave them in the vault and leave them in the safe. If chas v'shalom, it's ever necessary, a rainy day, he's going to take them out. But otherwise, he's going to leave them the way they are, and therefore it's b'shavyoi. You don't add anything. But lamas, at this point, the Gemara is learning that the machloikis is solely regarding dinan shel zov, but legabe the kalim shel, legabe zov, it could very well be that everybody agrees to Rabbi Yochanan that they have the status of kalim shel zov, since they are gold pieces and not gold coins, that you typically don't convert to regular currency because it's not really current, it's pieces of gold, like bars, nuggets, so that you would go and put in the safe, and you don't give either a discount, nor do you add the 50%. I think Brother Shai had a question.
Well, according to the first guy, according to the China comment, then you give a 50% increase.
So, okay, so even before you get down to the this shot, going back to the Braisa at the stop. The Braisa began. Zov is Kekeven. Dinri Zov, Hari Henkik Sofen. What does it mean that the leg softened? So if you look at Rashi, seven lines at the top of the Yemen, Henkik Sofen, Lahoisef Shlish, the fish in his money list. So the Tanakhama says, if you're talking about gold coins, clearly you add your 50%, just like as if it was silver coins. After all, it's coins.
Yeah.
What does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say? No, it depends. if it's a type of place where people don't use them as coins because they are not convertible to small denominations, so then you do it b'shofar. But then we ask the kasha, said the Gemara, the Tana Kama doesn't make sense. If nobody in that community goes and uses gold coins, so the gold coins is basically a collector's item together with your Mickey Mantle card, and you'd best leave it in the vault and leave it in the safe, and you wouldn't touch it until for the rest of the marriage. Chas v'sholom, there's a problem. You might be able to use it perhaps for a mashkin to use for collateral.
It's a store of value, not a medium of exchange.
Exactly. It's a collector's item, it's not a medium of exchange. And so then, if that's the pshat in Mishim Gamliel, then what's pshat in the Tana Kama? If in fact it's the type of thing that you leave as a collector's item that you leave in storage, then why does it say kiksof? That was Yimor's kasha. So Yimor says he's talking about a place where you can be poyed al yidei hadchak. The average merchant, you go into the grocery store, he says, I cannot use $1,000 bills. Please, you know, give me a $5 bill, a $10 bill. Even hundreds I have difficulty going and exchanging. Don't give me such a large denomination. Goes even to the bank. Nah, that's just too much. I don't have enough cash over here to give you for a dinner's off. If you want, you go to the main branch down on 42nd Street. When are they open? Only 3 hours a day. So I go there, and they have to stand online. It's a gansatircha. That's what Yimona means, that you can go and nafki al yidei hadchak. It's not an easily convertible item, but you can. Ah, so that's the machlokes, says Yimona. Therefore, the Tana Kama says, since there are merchants, since there are banks, I agree with you, the average merchant won't take it. But maybe on 47th Street, if I'm buying a large diamond, they'll take a gold nugget. Yeah, yeah. But if I'm buying a piece of bubble gum, they're not going to go and take the gold nugget from me. So it is nafka yidei hadchak, live in the shabchinolei, we add the 50% as if it was cash. So the Shimon Gamliel, since it's so difficult, most merchants won't take it, most banks won't take it, you're probably not going to use it. You're going to leave it in the storage. You're going to leave it in the vault or in the safe deposit box. Not look for it until 20 years from now. Therefore, you do it b'shofar. That being the case, that has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, because Rabbi Yochanan was talking about gold pieces, not gold coins. So far, so good?
Rabbi Yochanan said gold pieces where you...
Well, it's a b'shofar.
...use it at stored value.
Right. It's at Kishavyo, exactly, yeah. In the appraised
right.
value.
You don't add,
and you don't subtract. It's exactly. But the Gemara asked, but doesn't it say in the price it's Kikalim? And the Gemara assumes Kikalim Shapachsi that go down in value, therefore you would take a 20% discount. No! Kikalim Shazov! Just like Kikalim Shazov, which we don't use on a frequent basis, we usually keep it there in the vitrine because it's so expensive and it's so
precious.
Oh, that's the right word. I'm afraid it's going to fall, I'm afraid it's going to break. We just leave it there. We only take it out once a year. And for wine, it would be terrible, as our distinguished guest has already shared with us from the Gemara. So therefore, we always leave it. We don't touch it.
Are they treated as Nixei Melo or Nixei Barzel?
And we're talking here about Nixei Tzvein Barzel.
Nixei Tzvein Barzel.
This is Tzvein Barzel. Because Tzvein Barzel, so you have to do an appraisal.
Gold goes up.
Yeah, and then you have to discuss that with our Mickey Mantle card issue. See, before you came, this was a profound question that we learned.
Didn't we learn elsewhere that coins deteriorate, you know, the sewer
if they circulate, if they circulate.
And therefore, it's
that would be another reason to go and add.
Right, beautiful. Especially if a new king comes in, and they void the previous coinage.
But also just through daily use,
it also depreciates. It also
wears off.
Sorry, no,
Crypto mai.
You talk about the cryptocurrency or something good. Anyway, this is really getting very interesting.
Why is it called Tzvein Barzel? I know it's called the prize. It's like iron, but an interesting.
The Gemara says also where the word Tzvein comes from. But it's Tzvein Barzel. It's considered like a piece of iron, as opposed to things which fluctuate up and down. This is real McCoy. Anyway, beginning back, Ibo Yisema. Okay, so that was Teretz number one. Ibo Yisema, a similar Teretz. Again, we're leaving the Reisha intact, and so therefore it's not a Kashan of Yochanan, because the whole Kashan of Yochanan is only from the first part of the Reisha when it says Zov Hariyu Kikelim. They were talking about Zov, which means pieces of gold as opposed to gold coins. The Machloikis said the Gemara is only about gold coins if they are in circulation. Not in circulation, Ayyidiyat. The whole sefer of this price is not a machlok, it's two of Shimon Gamliel. And we have to read it again. We start off the price. It's Zohar Ariyuki Kalim. Period. What type of Kalim? According to Rabbi Yochanan, like Kalim Shel Zohav, which are Bishavya. According to the Gemara's Kasha, it's Kalim Shel Kasev, the Bachsi, and therefore you have to add 20%. But that's not our discussion. We're now talking about the Sefer. Din Rezov, how Hinki Ksofin. In those places where you use Din Rezov, because they're in circulation, you can use them at your merchants, at your banks, etc. In those communities where people don't accept Din Rezov, Shaman Oisam, you assess them, you appraise their value. But hey, Mishaveh, Divrev Shem Gamliel. Why? Shem Gamliel, I'm it. Mokash Nork, Shleil Fartim. Shaman Oisam, hey, Kishaveh. Period. So with this, we have answered the Kasha from this second Braisa, where the Gemara asked, it seems that there's a Machloikis Tanakam, Rav Shem Gamliel. The Gemara said, yeah, there is a Machloikis, or according to the second version, there is no Machloikis, but it's only vis-a-vis Din Rezov. But Gabi Zov, how you Kalem, that still remains intact. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan is free to say he means Kalem Shal Zohav that don't depreciate because of the fact that you don't have wear and tear because you don't use them very often, you just put them away. So gold pieces have the same status. But become
and therefore they get a 50%.
You don't add and you don't subtract, it's Bishabay, right. It's exactly the value set forth in the appraisal. You look at the appraisal for the American Appraisal Institute. See, it says that it's worth $1,000 to put into the ksuba at the end of this marriage, if and when it terminates, and the husband dies or the husband gives a get, you have to pay back $1,000. Not $1,001, not $999.
Because you're not readily. If it be cash, you get the 50%. This is not considered fungible.
Exactly. We started off the sugya of Yosef and said, Hari Hukashav, you are in the fourth line, so Rashi. This is one of those situations we don't add the shlish as if it was cash, and we don't reduce it by 20% as if it was metalklin. Special category b'fnei atzmo, tichoy zov, they remain with their value. Frank Timura, all of this is wonderful vis-a-vis the second braisa, but let's go back to the kasha Timura asked at the outset, which we never answered. Remember we asked from the first braisa. First braisa was, remember where the two dots are, skipping two lines. No, we're talking about Kalem Shulzov. Bring more in KK Kalem, me boy. And for Oitan, you have another Brysa. We didn't answer that first Kashi yet. And we're going back now to that Kashi. Me Komokam, Kalem, me boy. Both in the first Brysa, when the Brysa says, Hazov, Harihu, Kalem. And by the way, the second Brysa starts off, Zov, Harihu, Kalem. According to Rabbi Yochanan, since he's learning Kalem means Kalem Shal Zav, shouldn't it say Kekelav? By using the term Kalem, you're leaving it cloudy and mysterious, and you could easily err and say that Kalem means any type of Kalem, including Kalem Shal Kesef. And presumably Kalem Shal Kesef were used much more frequently than Kalem Shal Zav, because Kalem Shal Zav, as we said from the Toysis, since they were so expensive, people didn't tend to use them on an ongoing basis. It was usually put away nicely in the vitrine, and people looked at it, oh, it's so beautiful. No. But you only use it once a year, or once in 10 years, or whatever it was. So normally, Kalem, we're talking about Kalem that are in use.
And then you get a discount, 80% of appraisal value.
Can you explain again how that connotes ambiguity?
I love the way you phrase your question. It connotes ambiguity by the fact that the word Kalem is a generic term.
And Kalem means vessels?
Vessels, exactly. Okay. It doesn't mean gold vessels, silver vessels, it doesn't mean copper vessels, it doesn't mean iron vessels, it means any type of vessel.
Right,
and 99% of all the vessels in the world are non-gold. Non-gold. Right. And therefore...
does Kalem mean gold, then?
If you're talking about gold vessels, then it means gold. But if you're talking about vessels generically, right, and generally, and universally, you're talking about even plastic vessels would presumably be called Kalem.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, if we meant to tell us that Zohav is like clay Zohav, that you do it b'shavyoy, shouldn't have the Brice have been far more specific rather than this amorphous generic term? Should say Zohav is kikelov, just like gold vessels. Everybody agrees is kishavyoy according to its appraised value. So is gold pieces. By saying the kalem, you're leaving open the floodgates for all types of misinterpretations. Yeah. Everybody's in agreement? Says Okti Mar, so what do we do with that, Kasha? Says Yomar, Kasha. Kitaka Kasha. In other words, you're right. Rabbi Yochanan has no way of dealing with that. However, the Gemara says, one moment, I do have two alternative options. Ibo Yisayim, how come my skin
and I'm just confused. Why can't we say
I'm also confused. How can I help us?
How come it doesn't say Hazav Harei Tefelim, meaning that it's the Tefelim of the Zav that we just referred to?
That's the Gemara's kasha. Why doesn't it say Zohav Hari Huk Kalim Shol Zohav?
No,
or
why,
Hari Huk Kalov?
Oh, why sorry. Doesn't I'm saying since it used the Lashon Zohav before,
right.
How come the Kalim can't? We're just assuming. Why don't one could say that the Kalim is specifically referring to the word we just mentioned?
In other words, since we're talking about
since
the context of gold, why don't you say the Kalim will be Kalim Shol Zohav?
Because Kalim means generally all Kalim.
No, I
just
understand.
Gets, but you're right.
Of this specific context,
it doesn't. The fact that we're having an argument about it proves it's ambiguous. The fact that we're having a discussion on this proves it's ambiguous.
Many Mishnayos, your prices are it's based on the now. It's not. It's more.
I hear what you're saying. You'd have to speak to Talmudic scholars and know all the prices, all the Tosefta's, all the Mishnayos. Yeah, for a plain guy like me, I think it's a pretty good kasha. Saying Kalim sounds generic and sounds, you know, amorphous, any type of Kalim. If you really meant to hit it on the head, like Rabbi Yochanan is telling us, it should have said Kikei Lov instead of Kikei Lim.
Lacking specificity.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
Lacking specificity.
Lacking specificity, exactly. Yeah, it's a golden comment. Bedahava Pricha. Oh, there are two different types of gold. There are solid pieces of gold, like gold bars, and then you have gold scrap. You were talking about before, if you remember, Barry, they had some
nuggets.
Yeah. If you look, nuggets would be a shtick. Yeah. Now let's see Rashi. Viboy Yisema, about third down the Amid, Viboy Yisema is a Rashi. Kekelim shall guess at the passive electiction of Yechon. The Yomer of Yechon, Rukutois, Gidoilois. Rukutois means pieces of gold, chunks of gold. Nice big chunks, bars of gold. Masisim would have a Pricha, Rukutois, Dakois, small little. Just if you are feeling them, oh, I've never touched gold pieces before. Could you give me a gold piece? If you give me small little gold pieces, before you finish, half of it falls on the ground because it's so small, it's so insignificant in terms of their size and their volume. And therefore, says the Gemara, when we're talking about the contribution, that Zov is like Shav Yoy, we're talking about big pieces of gold. When it says in the Brisa that it's Kalim, and perhaps it's referring to like Kli Kesef, that you have to give a discount, it's a not small shtickelach of gold, scrap. Oh, scrap? Therefore, you do have to go and give the 20% discount after. Oh, Rav Ashi gives a very similar terrace. Rav Ashi Omar, the mamla. Busai's mamla, if you look at the Rashi that halfway down, dak shel zohav shekoyrim flola, which means you're talking about gold dust. Tois is learned slightly differently. Now we're learning a second full toises from beginning to end. So look at the second toises. Mamla, Zov Hanitl Mina Oretz Mi Moitzai. When you take it out of the quarry. The quarry itself might have gold dust, or maybe it's the type of gold which has impurities in it, and you have to refine the gold to make it into proper gold nuggets, bars, pieces that we're familiar with. Because of those impurities, that's presumably the reason why you would have to go and give it a 20% discount. So either we're talking about gold dust, small little dust pieces, or you're talking about that it is natural gold as opposed to refined gold, and therefore, again, you give the discount. Fine. Now we go off onto another related subject. We have finished gold. Omer Gyanai, b'samim shel antoichia. If you're an antoichia, and you received in your ksuba, if you're a chosin, and you received the ksuba from the kala, b'samim, different types of perfumes. The other day we said perfumes might refer to cosmetics generally, right? Some show Yerushalayim, that was Barry's question, and we said we're not necessarily talking about some of them, we could be talking about cosmetics. Harry and Kiksofen, they are just like cash. What do we mean just like cash? So Rashi explains, because the vast majority of all the sochrim, all of the commerce in Antiochia were people buying and selling some of them, therefore it was just like ready cash. And you
cash
have
equivalent.
A cash equivalent. I remember years ago when I was in Russia with my wife, this goes back before Gorbachev, at that time it was Yuri Andropov, and the Jews in Moscow would always add Yemach Shemoy, about Andropov. At that time when we took a taxi, rubles were virtually valueless. All of the taxi drivers wanted to have cigarettes. And so therefore, if it was a 12 ruble thing, Five cigarettes was more than enough. You don't need anything more. We didn't have any
what cigarettes. What kind of cigarettes? Marlboros usually were the currency of exchange. In fact, your brother told me a story about getting a taxi with a pack, hold up a pack of cigarettes and the taxi stops. He was in Moscow getting with your father.
So what did, you didn't have cigarettes. What did
so,
you?
So we went with another taxi driver one time who was very young, and he asked for cigarettes. We didn't have any cigarettes. So he said, well, maybe we have chewing gum. Took us a little time to understand. We're saying, chewing gum. We understood eventually, and because he was a younger fellow.
So you always carried gum with you?
No, we did not. No, we gave him rubles. Anyway, getting back to Argamar. But the point is, in Antiochia, Psamim was a cash equivalent. If you took your taxi, he didn't ask you for $5. He said, can you just give me a packet of psamim? That's more than enough, etc. So in those places, and we're going to give another couple of examples like that, whenever it says, now, Hari Hei Kiksofen, that means you have to add a shlish or 50%, just as if it was
cash. It's like ready cash.
It's just like ready
it's
cash.
Like, it's like your currency of the Medina.
The currency
it's
of the
coin
Medina.
Of the realm.
Coin of the realm. Any other synonymous terms that anybody can use, it's like ready cash. Good. If you're going to Arabia, you have gemalim, you have camels. He should go to parna miyam. She can go and go over her parna. Now, what means parna? Says Rashi, parna means revach shlish. There too, when you put it in, if that's what they brought to the table in terms of the nadin, so then again you have to add the additional third to the amount, as if it was cash. Again, another cash equivalent. Similarly, Omer Apapi, Hani Tusvi, the Bay Michsi. Wusai is Tusvi the Michsi. Michsi is the name of a place. Tusvi, says Rashi, are smolos. Smolos is a type of garment, like a coat, like a cloak, whatever. It's similar. Yeah, we had similar in yesterday's parsha. There we were talking about the blankets, right, covers. Right, okay, okay, presumably covers that people use for clothing. Anyway, what's it then? Again, Ishigoy Makarnis, Makarni Hem. Again, Rashi says, Rebach Shlish. Again, you have to add the third because it's a cash equivalent. The Omer Papi, the same thing is Hanisaki Durudya. If you are in the town of Durudya and you have sakim, you have sacks, you have bags, oh, that's also Oivala Soicha, that's also currency. The Ashli Dikumchuni, I'm sorry.
It's the best expression.
The best expression, exactly. The
negotiable currency.
In negotiable currency.
What would happen in a case like if I go into Russia with cigarettes and assuming certain cigarettes are not currency?
Mm-hmm. It's like the king changed and the old currency doesn't work.
There's a big difference.
Exactly. It's no longer the coin of the realm.
It's still considered a currency once we go revert back to the talisman.
Right. These are all excellent questions. But Mor is telling us in a case where the cigarettes were still good currency. And in Kimkunya, even today, if you give Ashley, Ashley says Rashi means ropes. Ropes in Kimkunya, that's like current currency, that's like Hoyvel Soicher, people use it as if it was dollar bills. And therefore, you should go to my partner in the end, so that would be a fitting to go and put into the Tsuba, and that at the end you have to add the additional third, just as if it was Kesef. Okay, we put two dots, we start a new shtick. Now, interestingly, Gemara used the exact same expression, which Rashi said before, means revach shlish, meaning you add the third, like we had in the Mishnah, as if it was kesef. Here Rashi said, I heard a different shot in this parna. If you look at Rashi, that 12 lines from the bottom of the Rashi's parna, on this one I heard, we're not talking anymore about the same sugya, about adding the revach of the shlish, but rather that parna means the ksub itself. Ksub menich siyot, the assignment. Normally we have a general rule, the metalkli the yasmi, the mishtabli the balchoy, that if chas v'shalom someone passes away, and he wants to go and collect from the assignment, he can collect from the karkois, he can collect from the metalkli. So now, the same thing applies not only to balchoy, this thing would apply also to a wife. And the question is, Zokti Gemara, what about arniki? Arniki are usually defined as wallets or purses. And Rashi says it's talking about, not that it was just an empty purse, it was Malay and Mois. It was full of cash inside the purse. The question is, can the Isha be goiva her ksuba from that? My time, so start again. I thought in the beginning, Hani arniki the mechoyza Isha goiva parnamihem, that they can collect their ksuba. My time, why? Asam chasayu alayu, they're soymich on them, that as if they happen to be karkois. So if you look at the next Rashi, asam chayu alayu, The gavion metaltli kihani, even though these are metaltlin, and normally we say metaltli yasmi lishtab the balchoi, shehin lehen the mokim kar kois, if he shabalis choyrehein. People look upon these wallets full of the cash as if they are real estate, and just like people are soymech balichoy, go and collect from real estate, they can go and collect from these arniki of choyze, which people look upon as a shtickle karka.
Could a woman collect a ksuba from cash? She can. So if they're like cash, what's the
our Gemara is not to say we're talking
no,
about
but
cash.
Actually,
I understand what you're saying.
No, she doesn't collect from metaltalin.
No, no, but I'm saying if a woman has a ksuba,
the question is whether cash is the status of metaltalin or has a special status of tehatzmai. Our Gemara is assuming that it has the same status as metaltalin.
Okay.
And therefore, normally you could not collect from it, but because of the smicha stasa, people look upon it as shtikl karka. And therefore, the connection therefore between this Gemara and the previous Gemara was that even though you're talking about those various metalklin, like the case of
the
summon or the ropes and the sacks and all of those, and people normally say metalklin, however, they are cash equivalents that people use in everyday commerce as a din of cash. Here the Gemara is telling us that the arniki that is full of cash is a din of real estate. So sometimes things can be misleading.
Is it possible to read this? Yeah. That Kisa Milling is saying that that it's not actually talking about ones filled with cash. It's talking about that are used for filling with cash.
As far as I'm concerned, I think it's a beautiful
job. Rashi says Malay and most. Rashi
right.
Film.
I'm saying that's what the thing's used for, not that it's actual. The ones we're talking about are filled with the money.
Certainly solve the problem, but it would be a little bit of a doichip shot to learn a shot like that. Rashi sounds like from Rashi Malayan that they are full of mice.
I would say that they probably had, each one had if you have a rolls of coins, this is worth four quarters, it's worth $10, whatever it is, so I would assume that these sacks or these purses each had the same equivalent amount, or they'd say, here's a purse of, $1,000 or whatever it may be.
Some approximate amount.
Otherwise, why would they accept it? They have to count them.
Anyway, but this was at least initially. However, it says Rava Kim the Chazoy the Shakel Lehu V'Navki the Chimishkechi Hara Zavni Behu. Says Rava. However, I have personally witnessed that after the women collect these Arnaki Malayim the Kisa Malayim Mois, that after they collect them for their Ksuba, the first time that a real estate proposition is given to them, they immediately invest it. They immediately get rid of these Arnaki and invest in the real estate. That really and truly their real smichas das is on karka, and therefore one cannot go and be goyva from them after all. I thought that people looked upon them as being a solid investment, and they would put it away as if you bought a piece of karka.
It doesn't produce peros. Karka produces peros. Arniki doesn't produce, there's no income, it's only principal, it's only appreciation.
It's true, but real estate also presents you with lots of overhead and expense.
But it has net income.
Speak to real estate operators. Some buildings, Baruch Hashem, are successful, and some are not so successful. Have you ever heard of gold going down in value?
Many times.
What about all those people that went bankrupt? They invested in gold, and afterwards they sold out. Okay. That's a different story. So, Rabbi Mitchum, after the shiur is over, we'll have an economics class, and people will be able to talk about all different things. Mickey Mantle in investments, or in gold, or in real estate. And we go on to the next mission. Exactly. That's a wonderful idea. Okay, on to the next mission. Back on the afternoon days on the days, the Gemara said that based on a pasuk in Tanakh, we encourage all fathers that have daughters to go and give them a natan. The Gemara was quoting, if you remember, from Yirmiyahu, on Nun Beis Amid Beis, that's 52
B. My question I had earlier last week, it seems that the Reb Yehuda Bar
Memreimer, yes.
He didn't like this whole dowry.
He liked the Indian of dowry, he just didn't want to be a silent observer who would be putting on
pressure
on the mechutanim that they have to come up with.
Okay.
Well, I guess every gemara can be read in a number of ways. That's why the many mefarshim. But anyway, one second. On Nun Beis Amid Beis, Yimar brought a pasuk from Yirmiyah. K'chu nashim v'yilidu banim v'banayis u'k'chul abneichem nashim. Go and take for your sons girls v'yesh b'nei seichem tenu la'nashim, and then give your daughters on to men. Says Yimar Bishlaima, bonim yodi kaimi. I can understand with boys, it's easier for them to go make shiduchim and you can get them wives. El bonzei mikaimi biyode. How can you go and make sure that your daughter gets married? Kamash mula no. The nilvishem and nechsem and neisim lam midi keich the kavtziyala. Also nazbila. That's what the pasuk is telling. You want to get your daughters married? Give them a nadin. Give them a dowry. Give them fancy clothes. Give them some money, give them some real estate, etc. Whatever you got, obviously. Not everybody has money. Anyway, so our Mishnah tells us, Amasius Bitzei Stam, what happens if he married off his daughter and didn't stipulate any particular amount? He should go and give her at least 50 zuz, because that would be the absolute minimum to go and give for a nadin for a chosm. However, Pasek Lach Nisa Aruma, what happens if the father of the kallah says to the chosm, unfortunately, I have no money. I understand that you are, Baruch Hashem, well-funded, and therefore, I'm not giving her anything. You just have my daughter the way she is, no nadin. If he agrees with that, the Baal shouldn't go and say, okay, after Nisuin, then she'll be my full-fledged wife. At that point, I'll worry about giving her ksus, but not at this point. No. Even when she's still Bevesavir. Now, the Mepharshim explained Bevesavir doesn't mean from the first moments of Eris. She still presumably has whatever support she's getting from the father. But what it means is, as we had in previous Mishnayos, that when the father decides, or when the year is over, and now he sends her with the Shluchei Ho'av, or with the Shluchei Baal to the Baal, and for the purpose of getting married, for the purpose of Chuppah, if the father is not buying a wedding gown for his daughter, then the Chosin has to go and buy the wedding gown. So this void of Vesavir means, even though technically she's not married to him yet, if that was a negotiated thing, that he is not going to go and supply even the minimum, then the chosin has to worry about getting a wedding gown for the kallah. Now, the chena meisi says, Rashi is referring to gaboi tzedakah. A yisoyma comes to the gaboi tzedakah, and she says, I'm getting married, and unfortunately I have no parents, I'm yisoyma, I have no money. So then, the gaboi tzedakah, yivchos lo machemishin, so the very minimum they have to give is 50 zuz. And miyesh bekis, if there's even more than that in the collection box in the pushka, finally be quiet, then go and give her more according to her level, her strata in the world. In other words, if they happen to be typically from the wealthier families or from the poorer families, in other words, what her family would normally be used to, the community standards. Anyway, Omer Abai, Zokimar, Omer Abai, Kamishim Zuzi, Shiti. Whenever we have the term zuz, which is used, it could mean zuzi tsuri or zuze medina. The difference between a sela tsuri or a zuz tsuri and medina is 8 times as much. The reason why it's 8 times as much is because the tsuri was pure, refined silver or gold or whatever the matbea was. However, if you're talking about medina, it was an alloy where they put in, besides the silver, they put in some copper and a little bit of steel and a little bit of iron, etc., to make it a stable coin. But that was had the value of 1/8 of the kesef tsuri. And therefore, Abaye says, when we say in our Mishnah, chamishim zuz, I don't know, are we talking about the tsuri coins, which are much more expensive? Or are we talking about the simple zuzi coins, the medina coins? So Abaye, we're talking about the simple ones, chamishim zuzi pshiti. So Timura, me my heart, you know, but it's safe because the safer says yesh be kiss. If you have in the pushka even more, my father's going to be quite it. The Amrina my kiss, Amrachba, Aniki Shutzadok, Aniki means the pushka. Miso Gadaitin, Hamishim Zuzi, Mamish, im yesh be kiss, Kamya Vino loved. In other words, if you're talking about Hamishim Zuzi, Pshiti, the simple kesef, then I can understand. If there's even more than that, give him more. But if you're talking about Tsuri, that means the equivalent of 400. The zuzi, because it's 8 times as much. That's already a small fortune. And you tell me in Mishmikis, if there's more than that in the pushka, the kamibila, how much are you responsible to give her? Do you have to go and give her $1 million? We're talking about the relatively inexpensive coins, not the heavy-duty, heavy coins. You have both the Yosmi saying they're coming to the Gaboi Tzedakah and saying, we need mezoinos, we need food. Unfortunately, we have no food. First, go and give food to the Yisoyimah, Yachav, Fadat, Yosem, then you give the Yosem. Why? Because of the derech of men, if they have no money, no food, they go to the shuls, they go to the Bat Midrashim, they go and knock on doors, maybe you can help me. It's not Kvuda Bas Melech Panima, we like to think of our women as being queens and princesses, and therefore we want them to stay home. They shouldn't go and Drezach in the gossip. Now, what about Yosef Yisrael Mishir? Ba'u Li Nase. Now, they're not coming for the Mizonis, they're coming for wedding expenses. So, Masinus Yisrael Vekah, Masinus Yosef, Isha Boisha Shal Isha, Meruba Mishel Isha. The boishes of an Isha, meaning that a woman either cannot marry because unfortunately she has no money, that's far more embarrassing than an Ish. Somehow or other, the Chassan and the boys seem to have it easier in the Shidduch crisis than the girls. And so therefore the boishes of Isha is either she can't get married at all, or that if she gets married, that if she has to get married under very poor circumstances, a marriage of poverty, then it's a tremendous boishes for her. If she can't have a white wedding gown, if she can't have, you know, at least some flowers, a little music, epis, it's much worse for the girl than it is for the boy. Tanur Rabban, Yosef Shabbat Lisa, Soichim Lebaizu Metzin Lemita, B'chol Klei Tashmir, Meyachem Masin Leisha. We're talking about, again, most of the rest of the Amud is going to talk about people that are very, very poor, and therefore need to come onto public funds. So, Yosef, Nebuch, an orphan, Shabbat Lisa wants to get married, Soichim Lebaizu Metzin Lemita, first, they go and the Kaboy Tzedakah help out in renting an apartment, renting a house. Matzil Lemita, and that he should have, of course, the basics, a bed. Bed, of course, as you know, is not just for sleeping. A Yom Mehem is also used for eating, a Seba, right? V'chol Kali Tashmishay, and the normal small things that you need, like forks and knives or whatever. V'yakha Matzil Lemita, now he has the basics, now we give him additional funding to be able to go and marry. Shnema Dei Machzor Hashim Yechzar Loi. What do I learn from this passage? Dei Machzor Loi, it's a habayis. That's a machzor. You need a bayis. You have to have a head over. You have to have a roof over your head. Ashi yechzar is a mitzvah. B'shulchan, mitzvah b'shulchan, having a bed and having a table. Now it says yechzar loy zu isha. How do I know mitzvah isha? Chenu oimer esa loy eizik neg. This of course talking about odom arishain, talking about chava esa loy. So we see loy, and therefore is a reference to isha, and that's what you give. Turn a button. They machsoyre. Atvatuva alav lefarnes. Atvatuva alav leoshrei. It's not true. You have to go and help out a person his machsor, what he's missing. But you certainly don't have to give him enough money that he should become an oish. Ashiyachzalei afilasus lirkav alav v'evet loris lefana. Even if you're talking about giving him a horse to be able to go and drive, and an evet that's going to do his needs, run back and forth here and there to go to the shopping and to do, you know, all types of big items, small items. Either in, from his own pocket or as the Gabi Tzedakah, he Ani Ben Toivim. The term Ben Toivim means that it's from a distinguished Chosh of the family that unfortunately fell on bad times, like we had by
daughter of Ben Gurion.
Nachdimon Ben Gurion. Not to be confused with another Ben Gurion. Here we're talking about Nachdimon Ben Gurion, who we had a couple of days ago in the Gemara, as you correctly pointed out, who at one time was a very, very wealthy person at Nebuch. He didn't give sufficient tzedakah, and therefore the daughter was Nebuch collecting the
barley
kernels, grains from Nebuch, from the soya, from the excrement. Rachman was that. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara now, just like we said, the day machsoy rashi yachsaloi, he was used to having a source lirukov olav, so he got it for him. The eved loris lefanav, and he got him an eved. Tamachas lematze eved loris lefanav. One time in lezokin, it wasn't enough money to buy, to rent, whatever, an eved. Ratz lefanav shloisha milim. He himself said, okay, since it's Nebuch HaYosin, Ani Ben Toivim, I'm going to help him out, and he did.
Nasi, it was somebody like, cover his photo.
Okay?
Melech
Shemachal, ain't quite the most. However, Nasi.
Was the Nasi? The Lozaki was the Nasi.
Yeah, he was the Nasi, but there's a time, how do we know when the story took place?
Okay. So maybe before he was the Nasi.
It says Zokain.
Because we're still referring to the person.
Okay.
We got the point.
You still refer to him when he was a little kid, usually. Yes,
you're 100% right. I agree with you. Very good point.
The article comments on this.
Yes, what is the article?
Yeah. This raises the issue how Hillel could allow his honors a Torah sage to be slighted.
Oh, okay. And what is the answer?
The answer is see the covered shurim and the chayim shulavitz and see chosim and listen.
Oh, good. It's the
homework. It's your homework.
Shkoyach. Tana Rabban, Ma'isa be'anshi golu ha'elyon shalokhu lo'oni ben toivim echad mi tzipoiri. Parshat Pshat means that he came from Tzipoiri, which was a town not far from Tveria in the Tzafoi, and they bought for him, or they gave to him, litra basar b'chol yayin. This fellow had was accustomed to, his ani ben toivim, and his family that had meat every single day, and so therefore they gave him meat every day, a liter basa. Frank Timara knew liter basa my rabbi, so busa de groisa chiddish. Timara is assuming liter basa is a standard amount, and you know, sinishazoi gefarlech. So what is the big chiddish in this Timara? It's not like you're buying a new sus lirkaivala. Om Rav Huna, so Gemara gives a couple answers. Number one, liter basa mishal oifais. Liter basa mishal oifais explains Rashi in the top line, shedemein yikorim v'hu hayim unag. Meaning, typically we think of meat as being more expensive than chicken, but apparently here we're talking about oifais, not chicken, because when we're talking about quite
fowl.
Duck.
Pheasants. Not a mashalite.
Exactly. And the prices were flying high, just like the oifis themselves. And so therefore, we're talking about very expensive liter basa. A real fancy...
Capon?
Capon is expensive. Anyway, so that's the point over here. They didn't just give him liter basa, they gave him from the finest and the most expensive fowl. And it was not considered to be a foul thing, it was considered to be the right thing to do. Maybe what you say, the litra basa mamish. What means liter basa mamish? Says Rashi, that we're not talking about the weight of the basa, which was a litra. We're talking about the weight of the money that was paid to buy the basa. We're talking about a litter of coins to go and buy this basa. And therefore, that's much more expensive. Rav Ashi Amar have another pshat. Also, Kfar Kotten, it was a smaller gushtetela. B'chol yoyima have a nifsidi chiyusa amatulse. He is the only one in this shtetel that needed a litter of basa. And therefore, they would go and shecht the whole calf every single day to supply him that litter of basa. They didn't need the rest of the calf, and presumably some of it, a lot of it, spoiled because nobody else in that kfar cotton had that minig of this honey ben toivim to eat a litter of basa. So the chiddush was that they had to go and buy a whole calf or a whole gedi or a whole goat, whatever, just to supply him with a litter of basa to be able to eat on a daily basis.
Isn't it wasteful for the tzedakah funds?
Yeah.
It's but that's that's the chiddush. That was more said. Ma'ir busa.
Does this kadimah stop going in terms of if there's not enough?
Mark doesn't address that. That's a very good point.
That's the important.
100%. If you have other aniyim that don't have, you know, the basics, maybe you shouldn't give him this luxury, even though he's accustomed to it, because they machzer shayach soloi. Maybe it. So these questions about priority, you have to look up in Shulchan Aruch and the Mefarshim to see what you do. In Baruch Hashem, we only had one guy, so we don't have to deal with priorities. Ha'udz also coming from Nechemi. Somebody came from Nechemi. Omalei, b'me'at asoi. What? In other words, he was asking for a handout. Please help me. What do you normally eat on a regular basis? Omalei, until now, I ate basa shamin v'yayin yashin. The best of the best. Ritzoin chishit galgal imi ba'adoshin. You know what? Why don't we see whether you can go and change your style of living and
diet?
I'm sorry?
To lentils.
To lentils, exactly.
Schmack.
Would we be able to, can you lend yourself to eating lentils on a daily basis? And Gilgal Imoy, Adoshim, yeah, he tried it out with lentils. And guess what happened?
Amazed.
And Nebuchadnezzar passed away. Exactly. Omar, oi loy lezeh shaharogoy Nechemia. Now Nechemia, Rem Nechemia, said about himself, oy vavoy to this individual that Nebuch was killed through Nechemia, that I didn't have Rachmanis, I should have followed our Gemara, the Yimbosa Shem Yayin Yashin, by giving him Adashim, look what happened. Frank Timur, why does he use this expression, oy loy lezeh shaharogoy Nechemia? Adrab, oy loy Nechemia shaharogoy lezeh. This person is already on the Amid Oylem Ha'emes. Shouldn't Nechemia have been saying about himself, woe is to me, Nechemia, that I caused Nebuch the premature passing of this individual. What Nechemia was saying was, it's a bit of a play on words. What he's saying is, Nebuch, I certainly feel guilty about what happened, but woe is Nebuch to this neshama that he had so...
rich of a taste.
He had
caused himself to be so accustomed to eating only the finest of the finest that when you gave him something which was less than that, Nebuchadnezzar passed away. Shouldn't be so finicky to go and have only steak every night. Once in a while he should go to eat sardines. Once in a while he should go and eat peanut butter. But the fact that he had to have every single night this roast and this basa shamin, Nebuchadnezzar, that turned them in. Not that Rebbe Nechemiah is still talking about himself, Nebuch Harogi Nechemiah. But the other side, Nebuch, why couldn't he go and reduce his standard of living like everybody else? Guess what would you like to say?
This is a thing of Tzibor or Yachid?
It doesn't say where he took the money from. Apparently,
no, it's a stamp.
It could have been Nechemiah taken from his own pocket. Could be from his.
So Rebbe Nechemiah is different from the case of the previous.
The question is, didn't we say Demachsoir Ashiach Saloi? Yeah. So that's a very good question.
So this is Mataris of the book.
No, we're not Mataris anything. Now we're going to answer your question. The question that I think you're asking is, the Gemara said before, you have to go and give him Ani Ben Toivim, what he is used to. You have to give him a litre basar. So why didn't Rebbe Nechemiah follow that? Why didn't Rebbe Nechemiah say, let's try out lentils? Didn't you learn the last Gemara? You got to supply litre basar. What's going on? Says the Marsha. Yeah, this Gemara is talking about he was an Ani, but not Ben Toivim. He grew up in normal society, like regular people, that once in a while. One second, before we come to your answer, let's see what the Marshal has to say. He says that on a regular basis, one night they would have peanut butter sandwiches, another night they would have sardines or tuna fish, and yes, another night of the week they would go and have roast beef, and another night of the week they would have nice, delicious pheasant. But not every single night, from time to time, Azoyim Tzazoy. This fellow, however, he, who came from the regular strata of society, he became a Groyser Knacker, he became a multimillionaire overnight, and as you know, those multimillionaires overnight often become paupers overnight. So, as soon as he became a shtaddy person, he started eating the fanciest restaurants, he would go and pay $500 for the main course, choshe, basa shami. So, woe is to him that he decided to go and push himself up in the strata of society, and that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He had went all the way up, and then he had a reversal of fortune. Right. Yes, what would you like to say?
If you take this differently, and each case and other ones were clearly Hillel Zaki could be Tzibor, more likely if we're taking Zaki on this.
Yeah.
Anshei Galil is clear as a Tzibor.
That's for sure.
Right.
Right.
So if there's a Nechemi as a Yofit, it could be that this din is specifically a Chobas Tzibor, and therefore Nechemi is not Machoyev in this.
Could be. Now the next Gemara is similar. How would also the commentator of Amalei b'me'at? So what do you eat every day? Amalei b'me'at trying to go this betuma. I go and eat fattened hens or stuffed hens. The yain yosh. Oh, Amalei. Now to your point, aren't you concerned about the fact that you're coming to me, Rava, not for my own funds, but rather as the head of the tzedakah account? Aren't you concerned that you're going to be pressing on the tzibur? Instead of being able to go and feed you peanut butter sandwiches, we have to go and give you tatanukutu. Doesn't that bother you? So Omalei, so this fellow, as we'll see in the Gemara, was a real erlicha, and he says, Omalei, otumiditu kachilna. You think I'm eating from the tzedakah from these people? Midrachmana kachilna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplies everybody their food and their needs. Tanina. Hey, Nikolalech Yisamein, viata noislehem as achlam b'itoi. It doesn't say, noislehem as achlam b'itam. It says, b'itoi. Everybody gives, that Kodesh Baruch gives everybody their particular needs. My need is for Tana Godes Tumah. If the Tzibur is going to go and pay for it, that Kodesh Baruch will somehow fill up the kasa, the account, for other people. Nothing to worry about. Everybody, Kodesh Baruch gives them what they need. And as this discussion is taking place, the sister of Rava shows up on the scene, and the Gemara tells us, "Lechazilei Tleis Rishani." 13 years, Rava didn't see his sister, and guess what she brought for Shlachmunis? Va'asilei, she brought him Tana Goyves Petuma V'Yayin Yoshin. Exactly what that fellow requested. Omar Ma'idekama says Rava now out loud, "I'm amazed. Why at this punk today? My sister I haven't seen in 13 years, and she brings me pinked Tana Godes Betuma V'Yayin Yashem." Amalei, so he called over this Ani Ben Toivim, he said, "Nenesi Lecha, I bow to you, you're 100% right, come sit down, eat from the Tekonis Tana Godes Betuma V'Yayin Yashem." So Rabbi saw such sincerity on the part of this person, such an Erlechayid with full Emunah B'Tach, and the Kodesh Baruch will take care of me. Kodesh Baruch will send a special Shliach, my sister that I didn't see in 13 years, Dafka with these foods. Rav Kreisvitz, I'm sure many of you heard of him. He was at one time the chief rabbi of Antwerp. Skoki Yeshiva. He was a Goyen Olam. He knew, entire Masechtas Baal Peh, word for word. and he would go and say a drasha, and in the middle of the drasha, without the sefer in front of him, he would go and turn the page, saying, "We're now onto the Amud Beis of the Gemara that I'm quoting." He would do that, okay? And he would quote word for word. He was a tremendous goyim and a very, very good person too. Anyway, regardless, so he was once at a bris here in New York, or Jersey, I don't remember. I was at the bris too, and they asked him to speak. And the bris was during the week, and as you know, if you go to bris during the week, there's usually a lot of... And everybody was talking and eating, and nobody was listening. So he said in the middle of the drasha, "Rabbi, ich halach bringen a gemore, wenn ich red bei a bris, the elam muss sein still. I'll bring you a beferish gemore that says when I speak at a bris, you all have to be quiet." What's the right? So he quoted our gemore. You always have to give a person what he's missing. He says, when I'm in Antwerp and I speak at a bris, say still, it's quiet. Here in New York and I'm speaking at the bris, there's noise. Das fehlt mir. That's what I am missing. You have to give me what I am missing. I'm missing now quiet and silent. You have to give it to me. It's a Chag Yimara. At least for the first 5 seconds. After that, everybody smiles.
There's the whole machlokas if somebody who's rich, but at this moment he's poor, he doesn't have any money, the traveler,
right.
if he's now considered the Ani.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's not classing that way. He's an Ani, because this halacha is only for the Ani.
Oh, very good. Beautiful. Talking more about it. Turn it up on it. Second wide line. Ain loy ve'ain roitzel his parents. The person, unfortunately, has no funds. However, he is embarrassed. He doesn't want to go to the Pushki. He doesn't want to go to the Gaboyim for food. No, he's not like the Shemavah. So the Gaboyim say to him, "We're not going to give you a present. We're not going to give you a handout. We're going to go and give you halva, a loan." And then as time goes on, they will decide to forgive the loan and not to go and request repayment. And therefore, it'll automatically be a matana. That's a good way of happening. Go and give it to him as a present. If he's not happy with the present, then you go and do it as a law. Frank Timara, didn't you just say now, he's not going to take it from you. You just told me he doesn't want to take tzedakah.
If he gives him his matana, how can you now convert it to a loan? If it's a gift, it's it. He's making it as a gift.
No, it means if he declined. We'll see. Amar Rabba, liftoyech loy l'shematana. We should go and suggest him, you know, you're going on hard times. I know you have a lot of COVID. You don't want to come. Fine, here's a matana anyway. So therefore, and if he accepts it, it's good. And if he doesn't accept it, then we go and say to him, "Okay, you know what? Instead of matana, then we're going to go and give it to you as a loan."
Why are you assuming it's because he's embarrassed? Why not the mission that mission paid about if somebody doesn't take stock off, he wants to he'll die rich. Or something like this.
Mitch, when we get to that Mishnah Peah, we'll discuss it. Our Gemara doesn't go into that.
No, the Gemara, he just says he doesn't want to accept it. You threw in Shah that was because he was embarrassed.
Why doesn't he want to integrate to the Spanish?
Because the Mishnah says that you become rich if you don't, if you're not a Frenchman.
So, in Matanos Yechia, Rabbi Kony's story say.
You have different, there are other, quite a few other kavanas that the Torah puts in.
So you want to give a different kavana. Okay, that's fine. I have no problem. I don't have a monopoly here. If you want another pshat, that's perfect. So Rabbi says, the Ben Yoyoda says, since we just said a moment ago he doesn't want to go and take tzedakah, so you're going to give it to Shematana, how is that going to help? Says Ben Yoyoda, it's in the many people, if Chas Hashem, they're very needy, they're not going to go and beg and ask for funds. But if you give them matana, they will accept it. In other words, to go around with their hands open, please give me, it's a pasim nish. But the Gabi tzedakah comes over to him and says to him, "Rabid, I heard the Nebuch, you're falling on bad times. Here's a few dollars." Then they will take it after all. So therefore, that's why the Gemara says the Rabbanan, go and offer it and matana. If he doesn't want to take his matana, then the Chayz Venois will say, "Okay, you don't want to take matana, we'll just give you a loan," and then they'll forgive the loan. That's a person of Engla. What happens if Yeshla, a person has money, Ben Roitzlis Barnes, however, he doesn't want to take his own funds because he doesn't want to use up his dollars, and therefore he's Nebuch, says Rashi, is Misagif Atzmi Barov. He's going around hungry. Obviously, the person is slightly deranged, if you will, but that's his. He's so preoccupied in having money, money, money. Yeshli he has, and Eretz Yisrael doesn't want to use any of it for food. And Nebuch is going from shul to shul, from kiddush to kiddush. So, noisim leveshim matana. Then you can go and give matana. And after that, after time, you're going to ask him to go and return the funds. Tomorrow, the whole reason why he's not taking tzedakah is because he the reason why he's not using his own funds is because he's stingy, he's miserly, he wants to go and keep his money intact. If you're going to give him a ton and then tell him, but you got to go and pay it back, then he's not going to go and take it from you in the first place. He wants to keep his money intact. What we mean to say is, you give him matana now, after Chas V'Shalom passes away, then you'll go and take from the estate, you'll ask him to...
The guy's a ger.
Ger? Again, that's not today's Gemara, we have to wait till we get to a Gemara that deals with ger. Reb Shimon Oymer, Yesh loy ve'ein roitz l'espanis, says Reb Shimon, I respectfully disagree. If he has enough money, and he doesn't want to go in the spider, then he's cock-a-like. Let him kill himself. Let him, you know, if he doesn't want to go, and he, that's his problem, it's not my problem. If he has no money and he doesn't want to take funds, oh, that's a different story. We ask him, you know what, we happen to be the head of the Gemach, we'd like to lend you some money, but we need a mashkin, we need some collateral. And then we'll go and give it to you. What happens if he doesn't have, because we said, he doesn't have collateral, so then the Gaboy Tzedakah will say, you know what, we'll make an exception for you. We'll give you a loan without collateral. But by starting off and asking for collateral, it looks like a bona fide loan, and therefore he'll feel much better about it. After all, this person is so embarrassed in Reitz L'Spanish, he doesn't want to take tzedakah. So we tell him, we're going to give you a loan, but you give us a collateral. Chanushka collateral. Okay, we'll make an exception for you. It'll be an uncollateralized loan. We'll give it a loan. The Torah, they should tezuach dai to olav, so he should feel good about it. He shouldn't feel that he's never has to go and solicit funds. We're giving him a loan. Torah says in the pasuk Havi Tavi Tenu De Machsoire Asher Yechsalai. We quoted the De Machsoire already before. Now we're talking about the first part of the pasuk. Kufsoich Tiftach Yad Chaloi Havi Tavi Tenu. But you Havi Zeh Shein Loi Veinu Roitzli Esparnis. Shenoyisem Loi Leshem Halva. Now if the person has no money, Ein Loi Veinu Roitzli Esparnis, he doesn't want to take tzedakah, we give him halva. Chayz Shenoyisem Loi Leshem Matan. And after that, we forgive it, and therefore he doesn't have to repay. Havi Tavi Tenu. Oh, that's Zeh Sheyesh Loi Veinu Roitzli Esparnis. That's the fellow that has money, but he doesn't want to touch his money. And therefore, what do? We go and give matana. Like the Gemara said before, the Rebbe Yehuda, after he passes away, we'll get the money back for the estate. Forget about it. He doesn't want to take from his own money. That's his problem. We said, what do I do with the second Tavi Tenu? The Torah sometimes, for emphasis, repeats the same word twice, Havei Tavitanu, but no special limud to tell about the Yesh Loi Veinu Roitzli Esparnis. Marukva Hama'anyu B'Shem Musa. Marukva, you recall the Marukva was one of the Gedolei Hador. The Gemara tells us elsewhere that he was the Av Beis Din, Mishnah in Chagiga or in Tzuka. Anyway, Hama'anyu B'Shem Musa, there was an Oni in his Shechenus, in his neighborhood, Davarogo Kol Yoima, that Mar Ukva had Rachmanis on this honey, and he used to go every single day, the Shadalei Arba Zuzi B'Tzinura Didasha. Tzinura Didasha means the hole in the ground in which you have the pivot to hold the door in place. Most of us have regular simple doors, we just have the tongue that goes into the socket in the doorpost. However, for instance, if you have a large shul, a large wedding hall, where you have two doors, then you can't connect the two doors to each other, and they have such a pivot that you can...
The floor, yeah.
Right, sorry?
Yeah.
Yeah, you understand? Yeah, on the floor and in the ceiling. Good. So the pivot over here in the floor, the socket where the pivot goes into, it was wide enough so that Marukva every single day would slip in four zuz into that socket, and then he would quickly run away, and then afterwards the person would come home, we'd open the door, and he'd find that someone sent him money. So, nochmal. He would throw in four zuz between the dasha, and then he went away. Yoyim echad, yoyim echad. One day, Omar, that oni said, I'd like to see who my benefactor is. For the last year, every single day, who's doing it? Pick that day that the beneficiary, this oni, wanted to see who gave him the funds. Mar Ukva was late, the Bein Midrasha. Asir Bisu Bahadei. And Mar Ukva, since it was already late, it's in the evening. Mar Ukva didn't want to go by himself because the Talmud Chacham should not go yichidi balayla, and so therefore he brought his wife for company. Kim dechazu to come matzli lei ledasha. As soon as the oni went and saw, this is the hidden benefactor that kept on putting the money into that hole in the ground. Nafik basayis, he started going after them to identify who are these people. Roit Mikamesa, they started running away from him. Ailehu Atuna, to be able to run away from him, they quickly entered into a large oven, and they closed the door behind them. They have the grufa, which had been shoveled out from all of the hot embers and the hot cold. However, they have a grufa, Nurahava, but it was still hot. In other words, yes, they had taken out all the fuel inside, in terms of all the charcoals and coals or whatever. However, it was still a hot oven. They come back. Kalyan carried the Mar'ukfa. So both Mar'ukfa and his wife were in that same oven, lying there, Nebuch, on the floor of the oven. Mar'ukfa's feet started getting burned, but not the Rebbe's in Mar'ukfa. Amalek the Bissel, the wife of Mar'ukfa, said, Shkoil Karech, go and take your legs, Oizva Karoi, put them on mine so that your legs don't get burned. Oh, he felt bad. And he said to her, how come I'm the Grace of Talmud Chochem, I'm the Abdesdin and all the rest, and you're a Rebbetzin? A Rebbetzin is very important. But how come your feet are not getting burned in my arm, mine arm? When it comes to tzedakah, I have a malah that you don't have. Number one, I have to be at home. You're typically not at home. You're in the Bismedish. So if the honey comes and wants a check, I have to say, if you want my husband, he's in Bismedish. You have to run after him. If he wants for me, I'm here. I'm here at all times. Also, if Nebuch, someone is hungry, I don't go and give him a couple of dollars and say, go to the grocery store. I hand him a piece of fish, a piece of cake, a piece of this, a piece of that. I can actually go and give him the food. And therefore, I'm Makarev his Hanna. Why was it so important that Mukva wanted to hide his identity? He had to run into an oven. What's going on? A person should never cause anybody else to be offended. Any busha, and therefore I didn't want him to be offended from me. I have a busha in front of me. How do I know there's such an inyam in Olam Itama? A famous story, Tachsiv, he mutzeis, etc. Look at the whole passage. I'm in it. He mutzeis, vi yishol chal chami aleim ala isha shal eil ala yanoichi hara. The whole question was, how did she get pregnant? And she says, I'll tell you. And she didn't go and identify Yehuda, but rather she said, look at these articles, look at these things. The chesem is the psilim, the mata, whoever it belongs to, that's the one. Why didn't she say she would have been killed? She was willing to go and be killed rather to go be mocked. So same thing over here. Mar Ufer didn't want to go. Why is it relevant?
They went to Grufa.
No, see, he didn't want this honey to know that it was Mar Ufer.
Yeah, but I'm going in terms of this is not exactly the same case.
It's certainly not the exact.
No, same it's the Rabin.
Okay, Mefarshim asked him about the question about Rabin. It's a Pnei Chaveir Barab, and this is only Miyachim. Before she asked that. Look in the art scroll, it has a footnote about it. Marukva Abba Anya Bishabuzi, another story. Every Erev Yom Kippur, he would go and send them Arba Meizuzi. Yom Mechad, one day, Shadrin Amil Leviad Barei. He didn't go himself, he sent his son with the 400 Zuz. Also, Omalei, so the son comes back and says, Leitzar, Daddy, Tati, he doesn't need the money. You shouldn't send it. Omalei, so what did you see? I saw at the end of the meal that there should be a nice aroma and scent instead of using those deodorant sprays that they have, ear fresheners, that they took yayin yashin, they were mezalef. Mezalef means they spritzed it or sprinkled it in the ear so it should have a nice aroma. So that's obviously only royalty does that, or very rich people. Your average individual doesn't do that. Omar, Mefunikolihai, really he needs that type of, he's so finicky. Aifinu means we're going to go and double it and give him another Shadrin Anila. Instead of sending 400, he sent him 800. In other words, he was obviously an Onibar Toivim, and that's what he's used to. When he passed away, Mar Ukfa, when he passed away, this is a separate story. That's the end of that story. Now, Mar Ukfa, when he passed away, Omar Aisalichush Benoy, the tzedakah, before he passed away, he said, bring me my tzedakah bank account. I want to see my cheshbon. Ashkach to have exib bei shibas alfi dinri si'anki. He said that he had already paid out 7,000 dinrim of si'anki. The si'anki, says Rashi, means shem mokoyim. The article says it means it was from sin. Sin today they say is China. So I don't know if it's the same China or the same sin or not. He says the fact that you have a kuf, says the article, just like you have by Italian that says italki. So here could be sin and si'anki. Anyway, but these were very, very valuable dinrim. And the article brings from the Oruch, that the Oruch says that these dinrim are worth 17 times the amount of a normal dinner. So therefore, since we have over here 7,000, if you multiply 7 times 17, anybody have an idea how much that would be? Exactly, 119,000. So that is huge, 119,000 dinrim. And if you think about it, the Gemara brings from time to time Meya Mana. The Meya Mana is equal to 10,000 dinrim. And here it's saying 119, which means almost 12 times. And the Gemara talks about Meya Mana, that means like a fortune. And here we're talking about 12 times its fortune, almost 12 times. 120,000 would be 12 times. 119, almost 12 times. And Mar Ukva was disappointed. He said, Omer Zavdoi Kalili V'orcha Rechikta. I'm going now on a long path, meaning I have to go up to Shemayim, because he's about to pass away. I'm taking with me Zavdoi Kalili, empty carry-ons, empty baggage, meaning that I didn't go, Rashi says, Tzedakala. I didn't prepare enough food, so I didn't prepare enough mitzvahs to escort me up to Shemayim. Therefore, he gave away half of his estate, whatever he had left over. Half of that he gave now for tzedakah. I'm not supposed to give him more than 20%, and he's giving 50%. The reason why they said that in Usha is, if you give away too much, if you give away too much, you're not going to have enough for yourself to be able to live. Once you passed away, less than about these halachas don't apply. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.